Welcome back from Mobile Podcast Command on the Mescalero Apache Reservation. This is going to be Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show number 50. This is the show I decided to put all the state-by-state roundup for the end of October in, for a lot of reasons, which I'll explain to you. Been dealing with some issues regarding Mobile Podcast Command, but I got that all straightened out today, so I feel great. So I decided to stop here at a little casino travel spot in the parking lot. Got Mobile Podcast Command running away, and everything is good. So you'll hear some of the explanation in the show, and then I'll tell you more here coming up. But another thing that happened is I ran out of Hydrus, and I had ordered it to get to Phoenix so I could grab some before he left and turn on my friend's wife to the benefits of Hydrus. She does a lot of yoga, and she is a physical trainer. And it didn't arrive, but it is. I just got the notice that it's headed out to Phoenix, so those guys should have it pretty soon. But I got to tell you, you really feel the effects when you don't have the Hydrus. You have a little bit more pain. You're running uphill just a little bit. And I've noticed it's harder to keep hydrated. That's the thing about Hydrus. If you use it before, during, and after any kind of physical practice, it does a great job at just keeping you hydrated. And if you live in a dry climate like the Southwest where I've been, you really feel that. And I've been drinking a lot of water, but water does not get the electrolytes into your muscles and into your system as quickly and as effectively as Hydrus. What is it? It is a sports drink that uses exclusive nanosome technology to get electrolytes into your system very quickly. Just to tell you what it is, it's the same material that makes up your cells. So it's very natural. And the only thing in Hydrus is stevia that is used for a little bit of sweetener and not very much at that. So if you want to know more, check out HydrusPerformance.com. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you walk, do CrossFit, yoga, you run, you bike, you play tennis. Almost everybody using it in all of these disciplines, these fitness disciplines, raves about its effects. Hydrus. Join the performance hydration revolution. I don't have my copy, so I'm kind of making this up as I go. Join the performance hydration revolution, because that's what it is. Take it to the edge with Hydrus, HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com. Okay, enough of this talk. Here's segment one of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show number 50. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Welcome back. So I'm live in Las Cruces, New Mexico. I've been doing my circumnavigation of the United States, starting out with the northern part, coming all the way down to California, through the Arizona desert, and now I am in New Mexico. Aboard Mobile Podcast Command, the 2000 Ford Super Duty ambulance, which doubles as a studio. Occasionally, Mobile Podcast Command has little issues and problems, and I have apparently an inverter issue or a battery issue. There are three batteries in this vehicle, and it is stored outside, and I think last winter that the cold finally got to one of these batteries. So I'm at the TA truck stop, and I had no electricity to do any recording unless I'm hooked up to shore power. So I went in, and I said to the guy, hey, can I hook up to your shore power? And they said, sure. So I'm hooked up to shore power at the TA, and thank you guys so much. This is a 24-hour service bay here for truckers in Las Cruces off the I-10. TA is great. They got a great restaurant here, and I'm doing them a free ad because they did me a solid, and I really, really, really appreciated that. So it was a great day of travel coming down from Phoenix through the Arizona desert. And then through the mountains there by Casa Grande and into Tombstone, where I stayed last night. And you'll hear about those in the podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com. I'm a little tired because first I almost ran out of gas. I really, I do this to myself. I pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And I was down, it was on E, and I rolled in here and I was very happy to get some fuel. So thank you again, TA. So I've been getting emails from people, and people have been asking me about the state-by-state poll roundup for the end of October, which I promised in the presidential race. So we have one more to do after this in which I round up or look through the presidential polls. I've decided the radio show is the best format for this because radio listeners are a little bit more given to being super political and political junkies as opposed to people who like travel podcasts or are interested in history and things of that nature. I'm not saying one is exclusive of the other, but this format actually works better for this. Now, I got an email from a podcast subscriber talking about push polls, and it really bugged me, not because the guy emailed me, because he wants me to talk about push polls. Because I can tell that people think that all the polls are push polls. And so this is just one more example of a lot of misinformation about polling and a lot of ignorance about polling and what they mean and the polls that are being reported by Real Clear Politics or CNN or any of these media companies. And it's getting all sort of bound up with Trump's speech, his Hail Mary about how this election is rigged. So what is a push poll? A push poll is a tactical tool of political campaigns. The questions are asked to lead the respondent to vote in a particular direction. No real polling is, the result of a push poll. A lot has been made of a John Podesta poll, which was in the WikiLeaks documents dump, in which he's talking about oversampling Democrats. He's not talking about CBS or YouGov or, a CNN Newsweek poll or anything like that. He's talking about internal polling. All political campaigns conduct internal polls. They actually do a lot more polling than the media. The White House does polling. They also do, I was going to say hella. Let's just put it this way. They do hella data mining as well to overlay the polls. So all of it, the White House does it. All these campaigns use polls constantly. You are never going to see or hear about the results of those kinds of either data mining or, and I'm talking about legal data mining, or the polls that campaigns do in the public, because it's their secret sauce. It's their secret weapon. And, they normally will oversample people who are going to vote for them to find out as much as possible about what they think. Why? Because as an old pollster told me many, many years ago, you don't go to St. Paul to find out if it's raining in Minneapolis. You go to Minneapolis. So if you're surveying Democrats, you want to make sure there are enough in there so that you know what they're thinking and that you've got sample sizes large enough in small groups so that you can make some judgment from those polls. This is not the same as CBS News or LA Times. John Podesta is not talking about those polls and telling them to oversample Democrats. Whenever you see any poll result, all you have to do is click on the poll. There's usually a PDF which explains sampling, how it was done. The full questionnaire is usually available. Nobody ever reads them because they've got preconceived notions about evil pollsters and how they can make people say anything that they want. The fact is, polls do oversample Democrats and Republicans, and they do it regularly. The thing is, they use statistical tools to weight the oversamples down and the undersamples up. So if you're a Republican and you're upset that they're oversampling Democrats, you should be happy, because what's happening is Republicans are being overrepresented in that sample because they're being weighted up. Every single Republican in that survey is worth more than the Democrat, because they oversampled the Democrats. And I'll explain a little bit more about this in the next segment. And then I'm going to do two segments about what the state-by-state polls are showing, or one, I'm not sure yet. And then I'll kind of sum it up with a freestyle talk segment there at the end of the show. Personally, I think it's a lot of people making a big deal about small movements in national polls. And in some states, most recently New Hampshire, don't do that. You have to look for trends. Lots of people are calling the election by telling you what you want to hear or telling you that each candidate's chance of winning is a certain number. They're trying to put a number on it. Do not listen to them either, because the bottom line is, this is going to be another close election. It's going to come down to key states. Some of those key states are somewhat different this year than in previous years, and there are going to be some surprises. They're not the usual so-called battleground states, although some are. I don't think anybody is going to be able to call this election, even if their predictions turn out to be right. Trump's people are convinced the polls are rigged and he's going to win. Clinton people are convinced she's got this. And I will say this, for the Trump people, this reminds me of 2012, because I can remember being on the radio and looking at these polls. And, you know, I work with a partisan Republican who became a Republican congressman, and he was trying to win one for the team. And I kept looking at the polls and saying, you cannot say that Romney is going to win this election. And people got furious with me. Everybody, down to the wire, I had managers telling me, you have to jump on board with this. And my way of jumping on board was conceding that it was possible that Romney could win, even though I didn't think that he could win because the polls were too close and it has to do with turnout. Well, come to find out that the Romney people just recently said that their outreach effort in 2012 in the last 2 weeks ran out of funding and went south, so they were unable to get Romney's people out to vote for him, which is exactly what I said was going to happen, because I have seen my theory is Republicans, if they want to win, have to lead Democrat candidates by wide margins, 3, 4, 5 points outside of the margin of error. Most of these polls, the margin of error is 3 or 4 points. With national polls, it's even more. So if you want to win over a Democrat and you're a Republican, you better be in the lead 2 or 3 points, because most of the time in urban centers, Democrats can get more votes out. They're better at getting the vote out than Republicans, because there's a lot of Republicans that sit at home and watch Fox News and think that it's already decided because the polls said that Romney could win because someone told them that, which the polls did not say that. And I'll never forget, there were a lot of awfully long and disappointed faces when Romney lost Ohio and Pennsylvania. So, and that was the end of 2012. Again, the other thing is you can't aggregate polls and attach a probability to them, because they're done by different people with different methodologies. And I'll tell you why you can't do that in the next segment, and then I'll go through the states to sum all this up. Okay, so we're going to do the polls. We're going to talk a little bit about polling and the foibles of polling, and then we'll get into the state-by-state stuff in this Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. That's coming up next. We'll do the poll primer coming up next. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Yeah, I'm sure you can hear Mobile Podcast Command idling away. I decided to just leave it running for a couple of reasons. So I had an electrical issue, which you hear me referring to in this show, and I ended up at this travel stop, the TA travel stop, and they were kind enough to let me use their shore power, which was really great, and thanks again, you guys, for doing that. I love TA, and I will talk about TA positively now forever because of that experience. And they were actually updating that TA in Las Cruces as we speak, so some of the new ones are really cool. Anyway, they're not paying me, so I'm not going to go on and on. But you hear Mobile Podcast Command just puffing away, just doing great. And I had this electrical issue, and I thought, wow, maybe there's a wiring issue. Maybe it's the battery. So today, I had the battery checked. The batteries are all good. The wiring is no problem. Found out that my inverter has some software, which is activated by turning the power switch on and off. And I had activated extreme power savings. So I got that addressed by talking to tech support at the GoPower people headquarters there, and we got it going. So the power is back up and running in Podcast Command, which means I'm completely mobile, untethered. I can do what I'm doing, and that's what it's all about. But it's really all about this fantastic Mobile Podcast Command. A 450 Super Duty 2000 ambulance came from xgovernmentcars.com, and I love this thing. Ed, all the systems are good. It has gone up and down mountains with its giant engine and its transmission and everything is good. So I'm very, very happy with Mobile Podcast Command. I've had three Crown Vics from XGovernmentCars.com, and they're great. They specialize in these one owner, fleet maintained government trucks, cars, and SUVs. What does fleet maintained mean? It just means that the government maintains these vehicles very well, and of course, then they're turned over to Ed. Ed buys them and gets them ready for you, and they're great. So if you need a car, if you need a loan, if you need a work truck and you've got a job, you can get financing. Ex-Government Cars takes trades. They pay the highest values every day for those trades. I've seen them do it. And don't forget, they have the 3-day peace of mind guarantee exclusively at Ex-Government Cars. So here's what you do. Get your butt down to Ex-Government Cars at 2420 Nevada Avenue North in Golden Valley. You can call them old school 763-777-8782 or check them out online at xgovernmentcars.com and see what kind of selection they've got. Ed's always got new stuff in. Expeditions, Yukons, the Ford Police sedans, the Ford Police SUVs, which are really cool, the Chevy Impala V8s, and the Dodge Chargers, and of course the incomparable Ford Crown Vics while they last. Don't forget,
xgovernmentcars.com.
All right, here's segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, number 50. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Live from Las Cruces, New Mexico, in a TA truck stop. You're going to hear lots of trucks. You're going to hear rumbling. That is not my truck. That is just the trucks around here, and I'm hooked up to their power. So in this segment, we're going to talk about polls and give you a little bit of a primer on polls. I'm going to go through the states in the next segment and then sum up at the end of the show. But I want to give you some thoughts to start out with. First of all, I've just come through some of the states that have the strongest votes for Trump. And you are seeing in those states Trump signs pop up everywhere, including urinals in eastern Arizona. So I don't know what it means. I don't know what signs mean. I will also say that in Los Angeles, which is Clinton territory, I didn't see too many Hillary signs either. So support for her there is muted. I don't know what that means either. I want to remind everybody listening that this is a giant country, and each of the states in themselves are giant. Most of the people that I see are just going on with their lives. A minority are political junkies and hang on every single word, okay? November 8th, 2016 is Election Day, and we will have the big showdown at the OK Corral then. Some people have already voted, but most people are going to vote on November 8th, which is just a couple of weeks away. Just because you don't know anyone who has said they will or won't vote for the other candidate doesn't mean your candidate is going to win. It also doesn't mean the outcome has been rigged. Is there voter fraud? Yes. Are there bad polls? Yes. Is it significant? That's really the key question. In close races, in certain places, I suppose you could say that it is significant. At least that is the theory. But despite proving that felons have registered and probably voted according to the right, or that Republicans engage in voter suppression efforts on the left, proving voter fraud and election rigging is difficult. We are going to have an election. It's going to result in a winner and a loser, or an electoral tie. And by the way, this is the main reason we have an electoral college in this country. But in the end, there will be a result. And guess what? Life will go on. I don't think anybody's happy with either candidate. Some people will vote for independents or libertarians or socialists or greens, like the guys here at the TA that like Gary Johnson, because of course it is New Mexico. Some are going to bite the bullet and vote for one or the other mainline party candidates. But in the end, life will go on. So here we go. First off, again, I've done a whole slew of podcasts about polling. If you really want to get into this, listen to them, because they get into a lot more detail than I can do in this show. I mentioned the push poll in previous segments. You need to distinguish from polls done as a political tactic from polls done by political campaigns across the spectrum on issues for candidates, and from polls done usually by university political science departments or companies hired by media outlets to find out how people are going to vote on Election Day. Or what they are thinking they're looking at toward Election Day. All these polls have different methodologies. Some states have more polls done than others, depending on the TV station there or the newspaper there. They can be influenced by national developments. They can also be influenced by a particularly close or not close Senate election or local issue, like ballot issues. There's a ton of ballot issues in Arizona and California and Washington and Oregon. Sometimes they bring in one kind of voter, and sometimes they bring in another. The state-by-state polls that focus on the presidential race are not going to show you the effects of these other stimuli because they can't, because they would have to ask about that in the poll to find out what impact these other issues might have. And you have to ask about it the same way every time in order to trend that data week after week. Keep in mind, all these different polls are done by different organizations with different methodologies, as I said, from sampling to how the questions are asked to voter screens and so forth. You can aggregate them to get a result, but you can't aggregate them and assign probabilities based on this aggregation. That is just hokum. I can't stand when people do that. I am not going to do that. Technically, you really can't trend polls done by different researchers for different reasons with different methods, but we do because, well, I guess we do. Finally, political scientists come in on the analysis thing because they study a state's voter returns, elections going back sometimes 100 or more years, social trends, demographics, the effect of political speech, and so forth. And this is why you might see a state like Texas in the so-called toss-up column suddenly when Republican presidential candidates usually carry Texas. The margins are key here, and I'll explain this to you when we get to Texas. But the bottom line here is nobody can tell you who is going to win this election, especially this election. Even if they are giving you probabilities, there's just too many things up in the air. And there's a lot of reasons beyond it's a weird year. The polls could be right, the polls could be wrong. But if the outcome is what the polls predicted, it doesn't necessarily mean they are right. Just very quickly, I remember in 2012, I said the biggest problem with Romney in terms of polling was he was neck and neck with Obama in 2012. He just didn't get his people out to vote for him for whatever reason. And that got me in a lot of controversial, a lot of trouble, because basically I said Republicans sat on their butts and didn't do anything. Well, you know, it went back and forth with people trying to do studies and say that Republicans actually voted and then that they didn't. And finally, Romney came out a few weeks ago and said, somebody from his campaign said, yeah, we had a big problem at the end of the election where our outreach effort just ran out of money and stopped 2 weeks before the election. So people are going to go vote. Elections are made not on polls, but on who votes. And we are in uncharted waters because you have a candidate who seems to be able to get people out. Now, I don't know if they're going to go vote, but Trump seems to be able to get people out. And so it's not very easy to predict this election if a bunch of people go out and vote for Trump. Again, politics is about who shows up, not who says what they think. And again, you know, Nate Silver from 538 learned this lesson in 2012, and here he is back again throwing up probabilities for why this one's going to do well and that one is going to do well. And just like stock pickers, people like this, market sages, political sages, they go along and they hit and they hit and they hit the prize for a while, and people think they're geniuses, and they're right until they're wrong, until something happens with their quote system and everything goes out the window. Politics is not poker. Politics is not gambling, although people do gamble in politics. It's a very complex thing, and it is not easy, even in easy years, to call elections because there's always surprises, and they may always have effects. And so I really feel that's important as a disclaimer, especially when we talk about polling, because there is so much disinformation about what this stuff is and how it works. And, you know, if you go around saying the polls are rigged, remember what happened in 2012, because Republicans said the same thing. The polls are rigged. The polls are rigged. The polls are rigged. Well, they weren't rigged. Romney lost by about the margins predicted in the polls. So they were actually fairly right. It's just people got the predictions wrong because they were colored by their either previous endorsements. That's really going to be true this year. Or they were colored by their unseen or unknown biases. All right. Coming up, we're going to look at the polls in the battleground states. Next. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For all the podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcast.com. For more of this show, visit GCNLive.com or the BobDavisPodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show.
I'm the sun and the air, all the shyness that is criminally vulgar. I'm sun and air, but nothing in particular. Shut your mouth, how can you say? I go about things the wrong way. I am human and I'm
back in Mobile Podcast Command, just ahead of segment 3 of this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. I can't believe I've done 50 of these already, and I love the fact that I can put the state-by-state roundup stuff in this show, and that's coming up very soon here. But I got to mention, you know, I was just talking to this dude in the casino. I went in there to get a cup of coffee, and there was a big line for the checkout at the convenience store, and he lives up here, obviously one of the natives. And he was, I said, well, what's the weather like? He goes, where are you headed? And I was like, well, I'm going to Minnesota. And he goes, ooh. And I said, yeah, it's going to get cold in Minnesota. And he said, what's it like? He said, well, what's that like? And we had a big, long conversation about it. But for those of us in Minnesota, it's a good idea to get the heating checked before the cold weather really seeps in. And it's coming, and it'll be here after Thanksgiving. If you want to do that, call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Two things to talk to them about. Lots of people are upgrading and remodeling, including garages. Ask them about in-floor heat. I've known people that have had in-floor heat in their garages, and it's fantastic. Also ask about high-efficiency heating systems. They are expensive, but they pay for themselves over the course of a couple of years, and there's still a little time to get that done. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, for four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. They do a lot of emergency service for residential and business as well. Remember, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating when it comes to keeping all these systems up and running in the cold, cold, cold. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too, so it doesn't matter where you live. Get ready for what Greg Ryan would call climate change, that climate change we know as winter. And thanks again, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Here is segment 3 of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. You're hearing the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. To sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, the Bob Line, visit thebobdavispodcast.com and check out the streaming live at thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of the Bob Davis Podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. We are live in Las Cruces, New Mexico at a TA where they were kind enough to let me use their electricity, so I'm really geeked about TA with their 24-hour service bays for truckers. If you're a trucker, this is the place. They're up and running right now. Okay, so for this part of the podcast, we're going to dispense with poll results in states which are solidly in one camp or another, the strongholds like California or New York State for Clinton and North or South Dakota or Tennessee for Trump. I defined them all in a couple of podcasts and one of these radio shows a while back, and there's just no need to do that again. We're going to start out east, and then we're going to work our way west. This is how election coverage is going to go on election night, right? It's going to go east to west. I use the RealClearPolitics.com's interactive state-by-state map if you want to follow along, and these are the states that are going to be the nail-biters or that are in question. What you won't have is insight on these polls and what they mean if you look at the RealClearPolitics electoral map, and that's what I'm doing for you. So we're going to start with New Hampshire. There's been a lot of talk recently about a new WMUR poll which shows the incumbent Senator Kelly Ayotte behind by 8 points. This is probably more of a tell in this state than the presidential election. Clinton people leads New Hampshire. I'm seeing people saying that Trump is now favored to win in New Hampshire. It's not on RCP. I don't see it. The poll in question showed the Republican behind by 8 points, not ahead by 8 points. So we'll just have to see what happens in New Hampshire. I wouldn't worry too much about that one. Pennsylvania is suddenly a toss-up state. The most recent polls there show Clinton up by 7, averaging 5. There is a tight Senate race between Pat Toomey and Katie McGinty in Pennsylvania with Toomey up by one most recently. Why has it been taken out of the Clinton column on RCP? Probably because her lead is a little less than President Obama's last two elections in the Keystone State. It is definitely tightening according to the last polls, but the truth is not a lot has changed in the Keystone State since they gave it to Clinton a while back. I'm not quite sure why they took it off there, but it probably has to do with previous Democrat averages in Pennsylvania. North Carolina is a toss-up still. In 2012, Romney won it by 2 and Obama by less than 1% in 2008, which ought to tell everybody a little quick lesson. You know, you can win by 0.8, you can win by 0.5, so winning by 1 or 0.5 is winning. Clinton widened her lead in North Carolina by the last poll up by 4. The margins are too tight to call in North Carolina. Here again, a tight Senate race with incumbent Richard Burr sliding ahead slightly. This is going to be a nail-biter November 8th because North Carolina is an East Coast state. They may hold back the results if it's really close for a long time. But remember, tight races in North Carolina are a norm. We'll just have to see what happens with that one. Georgia. Republicans usually carry Georgia by pretty wide margins. Trump is ahead again, but only by an average of 2.8, and the last poll was by 1. So it's a toss-up. The Senate race there isn't a factor since the Republican is ahead by 11. Unless you start to see Trump pull ahead in the next week or so, this is also surprisingly going to be too close to call for Trump or Clinton, and he is under the margins of previous presidential elections. Doesn't mean he won't win it, but it's interesting that he's polling lower than previous Republican presidential candidates. That's another thing to watch in the final show that I'm going to do right before election. Florida is a must-win state for either candidate. Trump was ahead by 2 in the last poll, but Clinton's previous poll numbers were good enough that she's ahead on average by about a point. Here again, you've got a close Senate race with Rubio getting in late after he said he wouldn't. The last Senate poll had Rubio up by 11. His average is 3. Florida, then, is another nail-biter. I couldn't tell you what's going to happen in Florida. We all know about Florida, close elections in Florida. Ohio is a must-win. Trump is up by 1. Now, he's been leading in Ohio by as much as 4 since the weekend of the 12th of October. Obama won it in 2012 by 3.4 points and by 4.6 points in 2008. It is significant that Trump is leading in this state. But this is another tough Senate race with incumbent Bob Portman substantially ahead, so that could be helping the generic Republican ticket, and some could argue that Trump should be doing better if Portman is up by 11, right? So I do think it's significant that Trump is leading in Ohio. I think that means something. I'm not quite sure what, but I would hold that out, you know, and remember that. Some polling analysts like to play games by putting Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin in play as toss-up states, and then they say that Trump is equal to Clinton in electoral votes. Hope springs eternal, but there is no evidence that either of these three right now are going to vote Republican. First of all, in Wisconsin, Russ Feingold has a strong lead. Trump did do well in Michigan early on, but Clinton's numbers are great there. And of course, Minnesota traditionally votes for Democrat presidential candidates. It could be different this year, but the polling does not show that. There was one poll that showed Trump ahead. I wouldn't put too much stock in that one. So we'll see what happens there. Iowa is now a very close race. Trump is up by 1. You've got a senator there, a Republican senator, Chuck Grassley, with a huge lead in the Senate race. Trump has been campaigning there. He's been ahead, but there haven't been a lot of polls to trend in Iowa. So that could be a very interesting thing that could happen on election night, especially if they are locked in an electoral battle. So let's talk about Texas. I mentioned this earlier. Suddenly listed as a toss-up because the margins in 2012 and 2008 favored Republicans. Trump is up by 7 in the last poll, an average of 4. Mitt Romney won Texas by 15, almost 16 points in 2012. McCain won Texas in 2008 by something like 11. So that is why Texas has been put into the toss-up column, probably. And it's a bit of a surprise. So there's another state that you're going to be looking very closely at on election night. Arizona is a shocker. This is a tough Senate race with McCain in the lead. Clinton is now up by an average of 1.5 in Arizona. Two polls showed good leads for her. McCain and Romney won Arizona in their respective years by 8.5 and 9.1 points. So if this is a tied-up race, then that is not good for Trump, because you would think Arizona would be a lock. And again, Arizona could turn out to be a very important state later in the evening if there are issues, electorally speaking, with splitting Pennsylvania and Ohio and Florida and Georgia, things of that nature. Finally, Colorado. Well, read 'em and weep, boys. Clinton is ahead by margins equal to Obama's victories in the state in 2008 and 2012. Yes, it could be tightening. Recent polls show her up by just two. If that continues, then Colorado is going back in the toss-up column. So then we get to Nevada, as we almost run out of time here, so this is good. This state has been a seesaw. Nevada has been a seesaw. Trump was up. Now Clinton is up by two overall. The last poll showed a tie. They're in the midst of a tough Senate race in Nevada. It's an open seat. Heck, the Republican, his name is Heck, is up by seven in the last poll, 1.4 overall. This could be a pickup for the GOP and may save the Senate for Republicans and for a Republican president, should one be elected in this thing. And it could also be an electoral tiebreaker, depending on how it works out. Very quickly, some thoughts about the debates and the outcome of the debates. Clinton got a little bit of a bump from the debates and the national polls. Perhaps we're seeing the same kind of effect in Florida and maybe a couple of these other states like Arizona. Let's wait a week or two and see what these latest polls show, that it's a possibility that Trump may recover in some of these places. If he has momentum with him going in, it should start being reflected in the state-by-state polls when we get close to election in just a couple of weeks. So we are really down to the final few days of campaigning, and watch for somebody to pull a rabbit out of their hat to try, or a Hail Mary, or whatever you want to call it, to try to gain some advantage in some of these key states. So coming up, some final conclusions next. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Well, coming up, the grand finale, which I'm going to play and then drink my coffee, and I'm looking forward to that because I just got some coffee from the convenience store in there at the convenience store here on the reservation. If you're a pilot, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, and Alpha Systems is dedicated to pilots flying safe. They make the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. What is it? It's a visual indicator of the lift underneath your airplane, and it's critical on final approach. This is where, in general aviation, lots of pilots get into trouble because they think they can feel this, but you really need a visual indicator to know how much power you need to add so you can make that final turn. It's really, really important, and this is why Alpha Systems says our motto is pilots fly safe. To find out more, click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcasts.com. And thanks, Alpha, for being the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast. Thanks again for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast audio stream on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Also subscribing on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, on blogtalkradio.com. I also have a YouTube channel, The Bob Davis Podcast. You can subscribe to that. And I've been posting some videos, cross-posting videos using the YouTube link on Facebook. So thanks, you guys, for coming in and subscribing and watching those videos. And of course, liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And yes, thanks for the donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. I've been using them for diesel fuel and pretty much diesel fuel to keep this thing on the road. And we're now going to be heading back. So I'll tell you more about that going forward this weekend, but we're heading back to through Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas and Missouri and Iowa, and I'm not sure I want to come home because I know it's going to be colder there, and this has just been a fabulous trip, and I'll give you a complete update on it hopefully later in the weekend. So here is segment four, the big grand finale wrap-up to the final state-by-state poll show at the end of October. One more to go, and that will be right before Election Day. Thank you. the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. For all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. Live from Las Cruces, New Mexico, once again in a TA truck stop where they've let me hook up to the shore power here at the 24-hour service bay for truckers. Really, really appreciate that, you guys. And now I'm going to talk about TA forever because I really appreciate the solid that you did me. So once again, if you hear cars and trucks rumbling and noise, you know, these truck stops run 24 hours a day. So you got trucks sitting here idling and everything else. That is not my truck. The rumble is all of these semi-trailers around here. So how would you sum all this up? I am not going to tell you who's going to win the election. All along, I have refused to endorse either of the mainline candidates or any of the independent or libertarian or whatever candidates. Your vote is your vote, and good luck with that. I am not going to fight for or try to set the table for any one candidate. I'm also of the mind that this is the kind of election. Right now, I got my water bottle here. This is the kind of election right now that we're having that is somewhat unpredictable for a lot of reasons. I'll tell you right now, the polling does not look good for Donald Trump. The margins are very, very close in some of these key states, closer than what they were with Romney in 2012. And again, I will take everybody who is a Trump supporter back to that year when they were absolutely convinced that Romney was going to win. And I will also again remind you and take you back to the statements that I made that were later vindicated just this year by people in Romney's campaign that said that they had a complete meltdown of their outreach campaign in the final weeks of the campaign, and they were unable to get people out to vote. I felt that Republicans did not do enough for their candidate, and quite honestly, I feel that Republicans don't do enough for their candidates at anywhere. It's very hard to see a campaign where Republicans really have shown up the way Democrats can show up for their candidates. And that's really, you know, a subject for a different show, a different podcast, if you will, at some point. But I've talked about that stuff ad infinitum. And I see no reason to beat Republicans. I'm just not seeing the kind of margins for Trump that would predicate a big victory. It doesn't mean that a big victory couldn't happen, because what we have in this election cycle is we have a candidate who seems to be able to motivate people to at least come out and see him, regardless of what he says, regardless of everything the media has thrown at this candidate, regardless of everything Hillary Clinton has thrown at this candidate. He seems to be able to motivate people at least to support and come out for him. Would his support show up in the polls? I don't know. That's a good question. Let's suppose that Trump's undervote is a couple of points. It's enough to make a difference in Ohio. It's enough to make a difference in North Carolina. It's enough to make a difference in Georgia. It's enough to make a difference in Florida if there's a 1 or 2 or 3 point undervote. Now, and any other place where he's, you know, tied, or where Clinton is ahead of him by 1 or 2 points, it's enough to be the difference. The question is, will it? Because Donald Trump's campaign is, as I have often said, largely rhetorical. What does that mean? It is based on him getting on television. And he seems to have the most effect in national polls, which I've told you again and again and again. Do not pay any attention to the national polls. The latest shibboleth with the media is that national polls are something you shouldn't pay attention to until you get down to the wire, and if it's really close, then you can pay attention to national polls. That's nonsense. This is a state-by-state presidential election. The state elections are held to determine which slate of electoral college voters will be impaneled somewhere around December 15th to actually choose the president, okay? It is not a popular vote. Not even in the states is it a popular vote, because electors are not bound by anything to vote for anyone they want to. Even when the state law says they have to vote with the popular vote, nothing has ever been done to an elector that went against the grain. So a rogue elector could conceivably have an effect, or not. I don't know. I'm not predicting that's going to happen. I'm just saying that that could happen. So there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of unpredictable things in this election. On the other hand, it looks pretty normal. It looks like a typical Republican versus Democrat election in the United States, where the Democrat is doing well on both coasts and in the Midwestern big cities like Chicago and Cleveland, and, you know, that's Hamilton County, Ohio, and the Republicans do well across the Mid-South and the Midwest and the Mountain West, and the battleground states are kind of in the Deep South or in the Southwestern United States, right? Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Georgia, North Carolina, Florida, with a few of the Midwestern states like Ohio in the mix, depending on how the election works out. So this is not an election that's appreciably different from previous elections that I've seen. I wouldn't say that it looks like Romney in 2012, because I think Trump is a much more dynamic candidate than that. And there will be surprises on election night. Some of these really close states are going to fall one way or another. Is it rigged? I couldn't possibly tell you that. There's so much misinformation and conspiracy theory about stuff, but I can tell you one thing. I don't think the polls are rigged. I went through this in 2012 with people calling up and saying Romney was going to win, the polls were rigged, the media didn't want him to win, the media is against the Republican, and so forth and so on. Guess what? The media is generally Democrat. Most of the people that work in the media are Democrats. They're from large urban centers. They don't get out here to Las Cruces. They don't get out here to Casa Grande, Arizona. They don't get out to the rural parts of the country in North and South Dakota. They don't talk to people. They're in New York sitting in air-conditioned studios. So most of the people in media, generally speaking, are jaded in that they cover politics too much, and I totally understand how they feel, and they have very sophisticated, almost political scientist view of the political process. So they tend to lean to the liberal side. But that's a fact of life. We've known that for years and years and years, going back to Richard Nixon's complaints about the Washington establishment and the New York establishment media and his whole Southern strategy to circumvent that and the silent majority and all that stuff. So this is nothing new for anybody that's been watching politics for a while. The polls are not rigged. They're just polls, and some of them are good, some of them are bad, some of them show good results. You know, some of them are accurate. Good results is an accurate poll that you can say this poll pretty much laid it out the way it is in this state. But it's a state-by-state election, and it would be very hard to rig state-by-state polls. This is just the way it is. 38 to 39% of the country is Democrat. 38 to 39% of the country in most markets and most states are Republican, and there are people in the middle. Sometimes they vote Republican, sometimes they vote Democrat. If you can get all of the Republicans out to vote for you, you can win the election. You can be really popular and be a Republican, and if these people sit in their chairs and watch Fox News on election night and don't vote, guess what? You're going to lose, even if it's a close race, because the Democrats usually are much better at voter turnout, which brings me to my point about the rhetorical campaign. So Trump has focused on rhetoric. He's focused on saying outrageous things. He's focused on being in the headlines no matter what. It doesn't seem to hurt him. It's like Teflon, much the same way that Bill Clinton was Teflon when the whole Monica Lewinsky thing was going down, because guess what? He was on television every day for hours a day, and that ended up working to his advantage. So all the negative stuff about Trump and all the stuff about Clinton that's negative has kind of canceled each other out, and that's going to even out in the polls as we get closer and closer to the election. So it's going to depend on ground game again, just like it did in 2012. And if Trump's campaign is largely rhetorical, and one of the chief criticisms of his campaign is that he really doesn't have a ground game. He hasn't opened offices yet in some key states and cities. So he really doesn't have a ground game. He's struggling to put that together at the last minute. Might work, might not. So that's kind of the rundown. And I'm not going to predict what's going to happen, because I don't think you can predict what's going to happen. And I think these people that do are charlatans, to tell you the truth. I don't care how sophisticated they are or how trusted they are. Most of the media is against Trump. They don't like him. But that doesn't mean that he couldn't win the presidency. And it's close enough that it's possible that he could win. Because why? Very quickly, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina, Nevada, Arizona, maybe Colorado. So you see, these states are extremely important. So I'll do one more of these shows on the night before the election, and we'll see where the polls and the state-by-state action shows these two candidates then. Thanks for listening to Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For more of the podcasts, visit the bobdavispodcast.com. We're out of time. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Well, that was a lot of work, and it was a lot of, I had a lot of stress yesterday. It was, you know, just as a way to close this, so people know what's been going on with me. First of all, on the way to Las Cruces, I almost ran out of gas. I mean, this thing was on E, and I almost ran out of gas, and I didn't, and I'm so grateful that I didn't, but that was pretty close. Then I started to have this electrical issue, which was entirely my doing. And so I ended up going back and forth with that. Finally got plugged in at the TA. Did the radio show last night. Managed to get it all FTP'd up to GCNLive.com and everything else. All is well. So it'll air this weekend on the Patriot at 11 p.m. In Minneapolis and St. Paul. And that's great. So now I'm just chilling. And I'm real happy that I got the electrical stuff addressed and everything else. Don't forget the sponsors of the BobDavisPodcast.com. Hydrus. Join the Hydrus Performance Revolution. Visit HydrusPerformance.com. You know what it's all about. Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul. They can come and check your heating. Check them out online at RyanPlumbing.com. And of course, the granddaddy of Bob Davis podcast sponsors. And Ed, if you're listening, I got some new ideas for future podcast command units. I'm very excited about that. Lots going to be going on in the next year, getting ready for some plans I'm making while out on the road. But Mobile Podcast Command is delivering up the yin-yang. So thanks again for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Time to drink my coffee from the Apache, and I will see you soon.